So just with that session, it's real easy to feel small, little, and condemned and feel real stink. But who knows that God is the God of grace and mercy, and he's the God that meets you where you're at and says, now that you know, you can live differently. But you only know what you know, and you live to what you know. And he's looking at the heart, isn't he? So God looks at the intent of the heart. And that's what's so beautiful about him, because you can genuinely think you're doing the right thing. And he's looking at that heart. So the intent of the heart is right. And that's where there's that mercy and grace that pours out. And that's what we have to walk in. It's like, wow, that's massive, man. That's like, whoa. And maybe, you know, I'm looking at me, and I'm guilty of this, you know. You know, I would have told you it was all about reaching lost people till 7 years ago, and I was leading everyone down that path. Lost people are still important. Absolutely. Do we want to reach lost people? Yes, but that's not the primary purpose of God's heart. So I was guilty. But because my heart before him and the intent of my heart was right, it's okay. And then he shows you his way, and then you turn and repent and receive more. And that's the beauty of the continuous process. So don't feel guilty. That's of the devil. That's of your flesh. Feel the conviction. Feel the weight of who we're called to be, and let the weight bring you forward and to your knees, and turn and seek him and ask that he would fill you with this word that enables you to live. Amen. Because it's the word within us that enables us to fulfill the truth. That's what grace is, the power of God that comes that enables you and I to live out truth. We can't do it on our own. You can't. I can't. That's religion. But relationship is receiving his word, which is his power, which is Christ is the word, that enables us to live the way he intends. Is that cool? So I just want to reassure that. You can.
Sorry, no, it's just quick, actually. I believe that God redeems time. And so when I look and think, looking back in reflection, I can't put words around how you expressed it, but as you say, you do the best as to how you are at the time, and I do believe he redeems it.
Okay, we have this awesome couple with us, and I've sort of asked them if they would let us into their world and their hearts and their mindsets, and so I've sort of given them some questions which they've sort of thought about and had time to think about, and at the end, it'd be good if you have questions for them, feel free to ask them as well, okay? So the first question I ask these guys is, how important to you both is your own transformation in relation to parenting, Elliot?
So we took time throughout the week to sit down and actually write down the answers, because we didn't want to sit up here and just say everything that you want to hear and how it can just come out. And we can just say, for instance, the first question, how important is it? Very important. Next question, you know, because just because we want it to be real and actually let you know the day to day how it actually is, and how it's not just, you know, us plus God equals happy life with child. You know, that's not. And so yeah, we do have our notes because we want to say it how it is. So yeah, it is absolutely essential. Going back to the question, our own transformation, it is, without our transformation, Elliot's not going to be transformed, you know, and you know, we obviously want the best for Elliot, like Greg was saying before, you know, where that is the goal. That's an awesome thing to achieve, would be for Elliot to come into the fullness of life with Christ. And so us being transformed and seeking first his kingdom and his ways is so essential, eh? It's the key. It's the course, yeah.
Can I ask just another question? How have you guys found that process? So, like, is that where you started from? Have you started from the opposite, and then you're allowing him to do this work within you?
It's been, I'm just trying to find the words. It's been interesting. So I think this kind of ties into another question that you had asked. But we found it really important to still be present and be in environments that would keep us accountable. And so there's been aspects of it where it has been quite difficult, and so we've had to learn how do we parent Elliot and still be present and allow the transformational process to happen within us, because it's so easy to put that on the back burner because having a child is very demanding. You don't get a break. And I think in that it's allowing that process of learning how to parent, that you do get transformed. When your eyes are set on Christ, it happens. I don't know. Like, you're not void of the ups and downs. And so it's in that process of, Lord, how do I deal with this child? How do I, like, I'm not having much sleep or things like that. But it's allowing that process to work as the transformation.
But even take it back before Elliot and your own coming into this kingdom, because you've both been raised up in a Christian home, but that now coming, the difference between that and then your own entering into this kingdom before even Elliot's born, even maybe before you even get married. No, just more the challenge you've faced in going from that reality to this kingdom reality. So this, your own ways into his ways. Now, the conversations we've had in Cambodia and dialogue and that sort of stuff.
That was a massive process of laying down our lives for him and I guess putting each other first. That was quite a big thing as well.
Why didn't you put these in the notes, man? We're not prepared. Stick to the notes.
Think about your challenges at work. And how you've had to face work and people you're working with and stand up for, and that work being done. especially the work now with Christians. And
the things coming from where we were to where we are now it has been massive. It's it's the refining process. It's been a constant, how I look at it is, When I suggest to God, I see it as that's me. Is it the analogy of the whole jump in the car with God, and he leads the way kind of thing. But I see it as kind of like that, where through life and through the last few years, there's been constant intersections that as God's been refining my life, he's been going, all right, son, here's the next thing in your life. You can either go my way or your way. And when I said yes to him 4 years ago, my yes was yes. And so it's been a constant process in my heart where I've had to say, yes, God, I will go your way, but I was wanting to go the other way. And so it's been a constant, the amount of things, that come up and you're just like, man, is that in me? No. It's just unreal, like all the things in the workplace and in the old workplace. I had a pretty awesome job working as a project manager of a big commercial roofing company, and they were saying you can have everything. You know, they were telling me I was going to become the boss, and they were giving me shares in the company, and it was going to be, it was all good in the flesh. It was awesome. I couldn't have asked for anything more because that's what I was seeking for. You know, I wanted money. I wanted to be have power, and they gave it to me. And then God showed me that it was something I needed to lay down, because as Jessie fell pregnant, I realized that with having Elliot, I wasn't going to be able to see her as much as I could if I was if I was working in this company still. I was busy. I was constantly working. I was constantly thinking about work. And so things like raising Elliot was going to fall out of the bed. You know, it was going to be one of those, I always think about, you know, there were three in the bed and the little one, you know, that little analogy. But with life, there are so many things in your life and something always has to fall out. And, yeah, if God's falling out because work's coming up, then, yeah, it's an idol. And it's and if it means I can't raise Elliot in the way that God wants me to, then I'm seeking something else first.
Cool. So what I've loved about these guys is they've maintained themselves by placing themselves in discipleship environments. They haven't allowed this gift to remove them. And so what I've asked them to share is just some of the environments that you've continued to put yourself in.
Cool. So we're in lots of things. We've got our discipleship on Tuesday nights with Sam and Tess Willis and the awesome team, which is great. You know, that's not just on a Tuesday night, that's full time. So that's catching up every weekend. We seem to be catching up. That's texting throughout the week, that's one-on-ones, that's Viber chats, where we're constantly thinking of one another, which is really cool. Catch up with three other guys on Friday mornings at 5:30 for prayer, which is pretty awesome. Nice early start. It's always, it really shows how committed you are if you have to, you know, it's a 5:30 start, so it's quite early. And I did miss this Friday, just being actually, confession.
So anyone that whinges about 6:30?
Yeah. We serve on the cafe. We serve, help out on the worship team. We catch up with Kukumel regularly, and that's not just a social gathering where we go and have dinner and have a laugh. You know, that's they're feeding into. They've walked this whole life out with us with Elliot from before she's even born. So you know, this. When we gather, when we catch up, it's we're seeking wisdom, we're seeking advice, we're seeking counsel, and it's for a purpose. It's not just to hang out. And so, yeah, there's that. And the same with Sam and Tess. You know, we make it a priority to catch up, to actually give them wisdom and counsel, but also to receive it back from them. And it's that is the discipleship. And it's so cool because we do get to enjoy it. It's not like it's a chore where we're making time to, all right, who are we hanging out with this, you know, this Tuesday or Thursday or whatever it is. It's we enjoy it, and it's the whole part of discipleship. Hey, it's great.
And a couple of things like the Wednesday morning prayer. I can't be there, but I've really, really felt to be a part of it. So I drag myself out of bed at 6:30 in the morning, and I'm a part of it at home by myself, but with you guys. So, you know, like I hope you're encouraged by that as well, that, you know, if you can be there, please be there, because, yeah, I think it's important. I was really convicted on it as well, because I just sleep usually when Elliot's sleeping. What was the other thing? Sunday mornings. You guys, our family, that's very, very important to us. And one thing I'll just share on that is just how the Sunday morning kind of looks for us. So we only obviously have one child, and so I'll speak from experience of that. I don't know what it would be like with more, but it is difficult. It is really difficult because Elliot needs to sleep. When she doesn't sleep, she's, you know, like a baby, grumpy. She's hangry, but when we come here, because there's so much going on, even in the parents' room, she wants to see what's going on. So she doesn't really eat, and then I try. It's a real struggle to get her to sleep, so on and so on. So it's a battle. And I'll be lucky enough if I can actually hear what's being spoken, because Elliot's not the only baby in the parents' room, which is awesome that there are other mums, but, you know, it can be noisy. So none of us really get to hear the word on the Sunday morning. But I remember actually coming to a point where I was really struggling. I'm like, why do I even come? You know, I'm not hearing the word. I'm not, you know, it's just, why do I come? And I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I should just go home. At least I'd be able to do something productive. But that's the journey that I had to really take and ask God, why do I come when it just seems like I'm not getting anything? And it's not actually about getting anything. It's about being present and being with you guys, being with our family. And although it's hard, and usually the rest of the day is a write-off because Elliot's so up and down, we just do it. We know we need to be here with you guys. We, for our own sake, for her sake, and for your sake, that we're all here together. I mean, imagine if we all just decided, oh, well, it's just too hard, so we're not going to make it. You know, like, this is family. This is a priority. And she will, I'm looking forward to when we can really start teaching her why we do this, why we are a part of this family, that it's not just a thing that we do. We don't just drag her along. It's, you know, it's so fundamental and so important to us. So we actually do it. We have to lay down our own desires of, it would be nice if Elliot was really happy and be able to sleep, but we just deal with it. And yeah, because our eyes are, I guess, are set on something far more important, far more of eternal value, not just in the physical. I mean, it is only one day.
Yeah. And I think so much of it is mindset. You know, if this is a destination point, if you come to church, then it's just an organisation, it's an institution, it's something that, rather than it's, you're part of a family. So if you put it in the practical, the physical sense, it's like, hey, we've had a child, but we can't go around and see mum and dad now because the child is crying, needs to sleep, we don't go. No, you go, don't you? See, we live the physical well, but then when we come to the spiritual, we don't put the same thing that God's created in us for the physical into the spiritual, and we see it in these completely different mindsets. We think this is somewhere we go. It's like, how come you don't apply that mindset that you're living out in your natural family to the same mindset that your spiritual gathering of your spiritual family? Because spiritual family is actually the family of God, not physical. But we don't. Hence, the kingdom mindset needs to be the mindset. Otherwise, we will live out our mindset, and it's anti-kingdom. This is why when you know you are the church, deep, 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 deep in you, your life aligns to being the church. So those mindsets go because they're not attached to being the church. Does that make sense? Hence, the kingdom is so powerful, and now you live it out. With all the tests and the trials and that you work through it like you do everything else. That's why we need vision to see. Clear vision to see. Without vision, what happens to the people? They live a life substandard to the life they're called for. Yeah? It's awesome, guys. Children are a gift from God, as we've looked about. What is your understanding of how God wants you to carry Elliot, and how have you come to this understanding?
It's through the process of laying our lives down and allowing God to transform us, and so we can bring her up the way that He wants us to bring her up, and how freeing that can be. And so, yeah, He gave us Elliot, and I remember when we first found out about that Jessie was pregnant, and we were like, thank you, God, you know, whether, because Jessie had lots of doubt whether or not we're going to have a baby or not, and or if, you know, we're going to fall pregnant. And when we did, we were so stoked, and we just said, thank you, God. You know, thank you that you've given us this child. And whether we have her or not, we were going to be thankful for her. And we're thankful that God blessed us with at least, you know, falling pregnant. And so from that, we have been, we know that he, the only reason we've got her is from God. And so, yeah, it's a gift that he's given us. And so we want to raise her the way that he wants us to raise her.
Yeah, I guess one thing that I remember God just speaking to me when we started thinking, like, oh, yeah, kids could be cool. Well, it was a little bit more serious than that. But I remember I was walking home from work and he said, you know, like, as two become one, that the act of that forms and creates life, obviously by his word, that would come into being. And so that's in the physical, and we know that the physical is just an example of something in the spiritual. And so when we are one with the Lord, life comes. It is formed within us. It's birthed. Comes out, it's outworked, yeah, and that when we grasp the concept of how much more valuable that is than a human life, like, it's incredible, you know, that this is of eternal value. We are all going to die. So, you know, like, yeah, it's of eternal value. This is life that is we're going to take with us, that is being created within us. Yeah.
So last question. Any key thoughts you would like to leave people who are either parents of young children or are thinking of becoming parents?
Just, I guess, this is something that we've learnt. Is remembering that we're a team, Josh and I. We're a team, we work together. That's definitely had its challenges. And it's just so important to have grace for one another and respect. We had to have quite a few conversations. I guess Josh would come home and be like, oh, you know, what have you done? And I would kind of, no, but it was... No.
He needs a chat, Kirk.
Sorry, that came out wrong. It wasn't.
We'll talk about it later. Another thing, moving on.
We're just transitioning to marriage counsel.
Yeah.
Now.
I would just bring clarity for that. It was just, you know, he works hard, really hard, physical job, he's a builder. So he's up in the morning really early and working really hard. And so if you can imagine coming home and nothing's really done around the house, you know, I mean, I'm sure I would ask the question, like, what's going on here? Doesn't Elliot just sleep or, you know, because... It's that day-to-day stuff. And it was actually, he brought that to me. I'm like, well, actually, when she does sleep, and once I've had a sleep and I'm feeling good, you know, there are actually things that I can do to help, to serve Josh. Just even putting a load of washing on, it doesn't take that much effort. And so him bringing that to me was like, you know, at first I was like, what are you talking about, you know? But then it was actually like, well... Okay, yeah, well, you know, I want to serve you, I want to serve Elliot, and I want to serve God, so what can I do to help us function as a family? And but then also for Josh to have understanding of, you know, my role is, well, I'm at home with Elliot, so I'm really investing my time and energy into raising her, to giving her the things that she needs. She's very demanding. And so... it was what we learned is actually to have respect for one another and understanding. So for Josh, when he came home and things weren't done, that was okay. And when things were done, he could appreciate it. And same for me. Like, when he came home and he was shattered, I'd be like, well, why don't you spend time with her, you know? Like, and so it was learning. I was like, well, he's just had a massive day, you know, just to have grace, respect, understanding for one another was so important, and we learnt that, you know, the hard way, but we got there.
Yeah. I had to help out. Jesse was sick with a migraine one day, and I helped out for the day. And I'm definitely designed to be a worker. I was exhausted, eh? It was hard. Yeah, so respect, ladies, respect. Another thing, every child's different, and so anyone who's planning on having a child, we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. Like, there's not, you know, you can't just have a set example of what being a parent looks like. But we knew that that we weren't going to let our lives and what God was doing in us slip away. We weren't going to let that taper off because, you know, adding in being a parent, yeah, obviously it's going to require more time and effort coming from us. But yeah, we knew how important our life in Christ and seeking Him was. That yeah, we had to keep that first day.
Questions? Maybe a couple of questions and we'll bring Vera up. So anyone got a question for these guys you'd like to ask? Lisa? None of your business.
I think our expression says it all.
Another question. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, that's really good. Yes. Been through the test, yes, still going through the test. I think it's almost daily. Yeah, I mean, the first wee while, I think I was actually okay. And then it kind of sunk in that we're stuck with this child. No, like, she's brilliant and so enjoyable. But, I mean, that is the reality. I'm not going to lie. You know, we're not saying we've got it all together. And so, like, that time that I was sick, I couldn't just, you know, leave her. She had to be fed. You know, life still has to go on. And you can't just step away and be like, okay, cool. And so, yeah, I think it's a constant asking God for strength, asking Him for the strength for us to continue to give her to Him, because it can be hard just in the day-to-day stuff. Does that kind of answer the question? It's yeah, definitely daily. And another cool thing is that because of the environments that we're in, we do get that encouragement, accountability from the people that we work with closely, and just to check in and be like, hey, how are you guys doing, you know, and where we can just discuss things. And it's actually really cool because the people that are closest to us, well, most of them aren't even parents, and so you don't have to be a parent to get this. You don't have to be married to get this, you know. It's not about a thing. It's about this life that we have Christ, and yeah.
I mean, once again, because a child can be no different to a sport. If it's an idol, and other people can see whether you're spending too much time on one thing or another, can't they? And if that thing, whatever that, if it's a person or a position, starts to lead you down a pathway. So I love that. So it's not even about being a parent, because we can all discern, identify when people are being led away by another passion. That's cool. One more question? Anyone else? I just want to honour these guys and being part of their process pre-Elliot, with Elliot, and some of the dialogues we've had, just their heart behind what they see and how they want to live. Because, you know, the test and the challenges is that people do get married and all of a sudden they disappear. They get children, they disappear, and you don't know where they've gone, you know. And it's the challenge, and these guys have continued to walk through. So I want to honour you for that, for the decisions you've made and are making and will continue to make. And as you just rest in him and seek him, he'll complete that work that you've just talked about, you know, where it does that work's being accomplished through his word and his power. So well done, guys. Thanks for sharing with us. Okay, invite Vera to come forward and divulge all the years of wisdom. Yeah, you got to sit on the stool. So as we know, if you don't know, Vera has she has a number of children, but the, I know 60. The children that I know as Ali and Julia, and they're full on for God. And I wanted to ask Vera some questions around, you know, obviously they're in their 20s now, both married. 30? One's 30, so Julia's 30. That's your son, eh? And he's full on. He's pastoring.
Father.
Yeah. So we're just going to share this one mic because the other mic was a bit low. So similar question to Josh and Jesse. How important to you has and is your own transformation in relation to parenting? And how has your relationship with Christ empowered your ability to parent? So, first question, how important to you is your own transformation, has it been, in your journey as you've parented your kids?
Actually, my answer is going to be the same as Jess and Josh's answer. It's the same, whatever part of the continuum that you're on. You're always tested on stuff. And the two are interlinked, really, eh? Because God doesn't have grandchildren. My children are my brothers and sisters as well. And they'll tell me off. As much as I, you know, have wisdom for them, they also have wisdom for me. And even when they were kids, when I got stuck at something, I would go and ask Ali or Julia. You know, they have wisdom for us as well, so... my transformation is very much interlinked with theirs, as much as theirs is to mine. So very important, just like Jess and Joss were saying.
Can you think of an example of how they have helped you, so in going to them and how they've shared insight?
It's ongoing. It's 24/7. Even now, I'm 61 next week or something like that. I think I am. They still tell me off, and I expect that, you know, because they are God's children, so I expect them to give me wisdom as much as God gives me wisdom. I'll just tell you, what did you want? Examples of?
Just an example of how they have
actually. Okay, yeah. So when Greg asked me these questions, I thought, well, why don't you ask them, because they would give you the truth about my parenting. And that can be threatening, you know, because I haven't done everything perfectly. As much as I love my kids, I can, when I got notes from Julia and Ali, the way they gave me instructions was quite different because they're all different. My son thinks I'm crazy, so that's a done deal. You all know that. I will always speak my mind, but an example of how they, what wisdom they give me is, you know, when I worry, mums worry, you know, even though we're Christians and we know God is a good father and he's trustworthy and all. When I, like Ali going to Africa and getting malaria and that, I was willing to lay everything on the line to go and get my baby back, you know. And she goes, Mum, it's like having a cold here. You know, I'm not going to die. And then Julia, I go to Julia, Ali's got malaria. She's got malaria and, you know, she's going to die. Da, 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 da. And she goes, and Julia would go to me, Mum, can you love Ali more than God can? So little things like that, and it just settles me. They have wisdom. Our children have wisdom in them, which is why I love being with kids, eh? And you guys as well.
How has his grace empowered your ability to parent them?
I think you know the answer to that one, eh? All of us here know the answer to that one. I can't do anything without him, you know. Prayer is 24/7. Yeah, it's just so much a part of my life that I call out to God, you know, because I think he's removed all the crutches from our life. When we came to Wellington, he just gave me a vision of how he would lift Roy and I off the table. If you think of this table here with everything on it, we would be the two cups. And so he would lift us off the table and sweep everything off. And we were to be, the word is coming, the word is recalibrated. You know what that word is? It's a word that's been coming over the last week or so. And it's just reordering our lives to align with his. Oh, man, it's been tough. It's been tough. And it's been a test. An ongoing test. So, but it's all good. So you have to see things from his perspective, from an eternal perspective, that even though life looks really chaotic, if you look into our life, it is pretty chaotic. But he says to me, see things from my perspective. There is a purpose for everything. Because if you just had a really nice life, and I know what that's like, you know, I was pretty smug in my 30s, had a really good marriage, my 2.5 kids, middle-class life, you know, with like two cars in the drive, pretty smug. Had God, you know, tucked away back there. Not really full-hearted and stuff like that for God, but we were blessed. So went through that smug period of my life, and then God shakes it up a bit, you know. But in that chaos, you learn to really focus on him. So every action you take about loving people, about loving your children, loving the church, is a very intentional, yeah, a very intentional thing. The lifting up of your eyes, he reminds me to do that, lifting up of your eyes so that you look at him and not the chaos, is also a really deliberate thing. Yeah, everything is intentional. But when I get stupid, I don't mind you guys telling me off as well.
Ali and Julia are now both adults and both living committed lives for Christ. What key things did you put in place while they were toddlers to teenagers to help them develop their own relationship with him? So what key things, they're obviously full on now, what key things did you put in place to help them on their journey to where they're at today?
I tried to write some notes, but I'll try and remember. So, you know, because you sent me the questions, I had to ask the girls, and they had to be quite brutally honest with me. Most of it was good. But, you know, because I'm a crazy person, I do crazy things that are not normal, not considered normal. So we moved around a lot because of Roy's condition, you know, and he's always jumping from job to job and stuff like that. So while life was chaotic, I guess I tried to be the anchor, you know, to keep my children sort of safe. And so what was key, as the girls would say in here, was that Ali said, I love stupidly. I know what she means, but she said, you're very lavishing. You lavish almost to the point where it's stupid. Is that what you're asking? And the other thing is, that was the only constant while life was chaotic. I had God teaching me how to parent, because I didn't have a physical dad, you know. He was the only dad I knew. So he would tell me things like when the girls had a bit of a tiff when they were younger. You know, kids get on each other's nerves sometimes. They didn't always love one another the way Christ would love. So when they had their wee tiffs, the Holy Spirit would say things like, you know, because I had a bit of a temper as well sometimes when I'm tired. And he would just remind you to walk away, just walk away. And I'd come back and it would all be sorted. So little things like that. Him teaching me how to love like he loves. And in my relationship with him, I learnt to love my children. And then when I turned 50, he said to me, take what you learn from the micro and now think globally. So that's when he asked me to get involved in this at this level here with Greg. So I don't think that's answering the question. But love is the key thing. And God, you know, God be the being the constant. Without him, it'd be a mess, really, eh? They were always part of Sunday school, so they knew God through that, and I was always involved in that part of the church as well. Church, we were part of a very, very legalistic church. It was a good place to start to learn about his word, but it became quite legalistic because the church was also quite cessationist. You know, they didn't acknowledge the reality of Holy Spirit working in us. So we shifted from there. But all throughout that, the girls always had people around them. You know how God puts people around us. So when they came to the rock, we were in our, what I call our gap year. We've left that church, but we were in transition, kind of waiting for God to tell us what to do next. But the girls led us into the rock. And that's where God wanted us. They wanted us to follow the girls in here. But they always had people like the Billings. The Gillings? Sorry, the Gillings. I've forgotten. Johnny and Bex as their spiritual parents. So God always put people like that around them. So it wasn't just my job or me feeding stuff into them. It was also the people that God put around them. So very thankful for that. Yeah.
I love what you said then about love. You know, like sometimes we miss it. You know, to love is investing and to see them as the opportunity to learn love. Yeah. You know, like that's really what a husband and a wife is as well. It's if you see it like God's put me with this person to learn how to love like he loves. And if you think about that, then you take the children, you learn how to love like Christ loves. By the time you hit here, you're loving one another as I love. So it's all a learning environment to create a change. But you can skip it and miss the learning opportunity. And then we wonder why there's not love in the community. Like the challenge, isn't it? Is the Church of Jesus Christ known for love on a whole? And this is what he's doing here, you know. But it starts where? Well, ultimately with me and him. Then me, him, and Danielle. Me, him, and Woke. And so by the time you get to community, the community is known for love because every person that's an individual, married with kids, is allowing the work to be done. So the outcome that starts one-on-one is the same outcome right the way through. So the world sees and knows that Jesus was sent. John 17. You sort of shared some of the stuff. In your opinion, what would you say, if you could nail two most important aspects that a parent can model for their children, spiritually and practically? A couple of things that a parent can model spiritually and practically for their children.
For me, those two things are very much interlinked, you know, because I find it really hard. Maybe I'm getting older, I don't know. I find it really hard to divide the practical from the spiritual, you know, because it's all interlinked. But those of you who know me, most of you here know me, what am I doing most of my time? Teaching, but in relation to connecting with God, what do I love doing? That's the thing. You know, I'm still praying for my kids, even though they've got their own children. I still pray for them. And they know, this is the thing. Even with Ali in Africa with malaria, you know, they say, "Mum, we're so blessed because we have the VBs." You know, my daughter's in-laws, my beautiful friends over here. I believe in a thing about it takes a village, you know, and I think that's what God's creating here. That so. There's praying, and this is what Ali said to me last night. There's a combination of things that God is putting around us. You know, we've got Jeanette and Rick, who are, because she thinks I'm really impractical, really impractical. I've got my eye up there and I'm praying, and there's a fire over there and I'm praying. So she says to me, "Thank God that, you know, there's a balance between you VBs and you praying." And, you know, when I got malaria, Jeanette would sort out all the insurance stuff and send the papers over, get me a new phone when my phone was stolen. But I know you're praying. So there's a combination. This is, but, you know, testament to him, eh? Testament to God that you don't have to worry about your kids. He puts people, angels around you. So pray, get in the face of God. I'm very aggressive with my relationship with God. I demand things of him. I expect a lot of him, but then he throws it back at me, you know. But get in his face. So, yeah.
And you've shared other things as you're listening, even listening to them. You know, listen to your children. Hear what they're saying, you know. I love that reality between the spiritual and the practical. Now, how did the young boy in John, how did he get the fish to give to Jesus? Because his dad caught it and his mum put it in his lunchbox. The practical stuff. So they're not doing practical. There's no fish for Jesus to multiply. Yet we want to focus on the miracle, don't we? You can miss the practical and don't think that's worthwhile. It's all worthwhile, and it all leads to an encounter with amazing power. So last question, just anything, words of advice you can give for those, maybe with teenagers. The teenagers, because that tends to be an age group that, you know, their choices, if God's just been there but not within them, you know, it's what we do, it's not who I am. And so they're in a world with choices. Any advice there you can help parents?
I don't like giving advice because if you're asking about teenage years, I don't think I've ever met a teenager as difficult as I was. I don't think I haven't met one. I was a stubborn, you know, willful teenager. So as a result of that, I'm very tolerant, but I go for the heart. This is what Julia said. "Mum, you don't sweat the small things, you know." Ali walks in with a ring through her nose. There's a tattoo on her hand. I go, "Psh, there's nothing, you know. My son comes in with dreads and shaven head and, oh, gosh, you know, when the Britney Spears thing came in, Julia had abs and her dress was up to here. And people, you know, people would say, aren't you concerned? What would people say about that? I said, I see her heart, you know. She says to me, Mum, you go for the heart. You see the heart of people. And, yeah, it's something that the Lord is teaching us as well. Don't sweat the small stuff. When the boys, when my girls got married to Marty and Vaughn, you know, when they would break something in the house, I could see the, you know, and the girls go, oh, Mum doesn't sweat that stuff. So they learnt as they came into that, as much as they learnt about how other parents parent. So beautiful how God creates family like that. It's not just about the unit, you know, it's about all of us looking after one another and stuff like that. Anyway, what was the question? Thank you.
And that's why, you know, what I was sharing about is that he's after our heart. He sees the heart and he wants to release what's in our hearts and give us more of him so we can have the freedom. That's why he always had the ability to see through to the real issue. So for the rich young ruler, he saw the real issue. He cut straight to the root of the issue, and that's what it'll do. And that's why you don't judge. You know, oh, gee.
You try.
So questions. Anyone got questions for Vera? Yes.
You know, when you were young, younger, sorry, and Roy wasn't well, did you feel like a solo parent? And how did you cope with that? And did the church kind of rally around you and give you that support? Because that's not uncommon these days, you know, especially where maybe one person's a Christian and one isn't, or one's just not emotionally engaged or whatever.
It's a really good thing to bring up because even my marriage doesn't look like the normal, you know, Christian-looking marriage. We're all different. And so if you're asking about Roy's condition, most of you know that he suffers from what they diagnose as bipolar. So it's like a manic depressive type thing. In my spirit, I don't believe it is that. I think it's a spiritual thing. And I think it's part of his journey. Like he says to me, you know, it's all right for you. You've got foundations in God, but it's a very new thing for me. So part of his journey is what this is all about. And he will come into God more and more. But meanwhile, I can't complain because I tried. And I said to him, God, you demand so much of me. And he goes, yes, but I've also given you a lot. So whatever is happening, you know, with the challenges of being a glorified solo mum, that's how I see a lot of my journey, bringing up the kids mostly by myself, emotionally and spiritually, if you like. But there is something going on. If you see things from God's perspective, there's a purpose for this. I find it challenging, you know, bringing up my kids like this and my raising my children to God. But there is a purpose in it. And when God told me that, I got really upset, you know, because it was tough. But then he goes, you know, he always shows us, guess who died? Yeah, so it's part of the journey is hard. You know, you're kind of like up and down, there's tests, but he tells me about those, you know. But when I need him, when Roy's not around, guess who gives me cuddles? You know? About a month ago I was at it, work is hard, you know, got a really hard job as well. And very challenging stuff to deal with at home as well. But you know, he just gave me a cuddle. And it's really funny because I'm a I'm a big girl, you know, I'm not petite. But the way the Lord showed me how he cuddled was that I was nestled like a little, where's Jess's baby? Just like that, up against him, you know? And so he's showing me, look how big I am, and I give you these cuddles, and I'm tucked here. See, as big as I am, I'm very little compared to him. That's good news, eh?
I remember Vera coming to me, man, this is, when was this? How long ago? 7 years ago, 8 years ago? And having a really awkward conversation around what God was showing her. And it's amazing because I, you know, like I'm sitting there and I'm not hearing any of it, but she is sharing her heart with me of what he's showing about the kingdom. And it's interesting how, you know, that now we're walking out that, aren't we? And what you saw and what you were obedient to bring, you know, because it can be scary, you know, and God says, I want you to go speak to that person, but what if they ignore me, tell me to go away, knock me out, tell me that you're an idiot, you know, but she was obedient to that, and it's just amazing now of what God's doing, and it's all been part of what he's been showing her, so I want to honor you for that as well, and that obedience to be a voice, and to continue to be a voice here for us all. So, one more question. We must all have parenting down. All right, cool. Thanks, Vera. It's awesome. Yeah.